In 1999, Joanne Meyer was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was shocked to discover she had the disease. No one in her family had a history of cancer, and she only had one of the standard risk factors for the illness.
Of course, you always speculate when you have a disease like this. Was it something I did, or was it something that I was exposed to?
Meyer says her doctors never talked to her about possible environmental links to her illness. Today, Meyer is cancer-free and runs a nonprofit that raises money for breast cancer research. She hears similar stories about other primary care physicians from the breast cancer patients she works with every day.
There's a great deal of anger about the misinformation or lack of information given to them in general. I mean, it would be great if your PCP could say to you, you need to also look at what you're doing on a day-to-day basis that might be affecting your health.
Joanne Meyer's experience isn't unusual. Experts agree that most doctors and nurses aren't ready to deal with the environmental links to dozens of illnesses like cancer or lung disease. Sometimes crowded doctor's schedules or fear of being seen as an environmental advocate get in the way. Layla McCurdy directs the Health and Environment Program at the National Environmental Education and Training Foundation in Washington, D.C. McCurdy says medical providers don't know much about environmental health issues because training is so hard to come by.
One of the challenges that we are facing in terms of integrating environmental health is the lack of expertise in this area. There are very few leaders who are willing to take the time and create their own materials to educate their students at the medical and nursing schools.
As a result of this small pool of experts and an already crowded set of courses, most med students get only about 7 hours of environmental health education in 4 years of school. Established doctors and nurses have even fewer training options. A small but growing number of healthcare institutions, nonprofits, and agencies are stepping in to fill the training gap. On this morning, medical residents and staff doctors crowd into a hospital lecture hall.
Welcome to Medicine Grand Rounds. Our speaker today is Dr. Talal El-Hafnawi, who's going to talk to us about estrogenic pollutants in the environment and the risk they pose to people.
Can these chemicals, which resemble estrogen in one way or the other, cause an increase in the risk to develop cancer? And the answer is yes.
El-Hafnawi is a medical doctor and research scientist. He works with the University of Pittsburgh Center for Environmental Oncology. The center is developing environmental health training for doctors and nurses. After his seminar, El-Hafnawi says response to the program has been good, but his job of relating environmental health risk can be tough because doctors aren't used to treating diseases with causes that are hard to pin down.
In the scientific community, we can't prove everything. Many things are very difficult to prove.
El-Hafnawi's boss, Deborah Davis, says medical providers will have to be satisfied with substantial evidence, not absolute proof, that certain environmental toxins increase the risk of illnesses, and steer patients to safer alternatives. Davis is a nationally known epidemiologist. She says environmental medicine's emphasis on prevention is the shot in the arm American healthcare needs.
Because no matter how efficient the healthcare system becomes at finding and treating disease, if we don't reduce the burden of disease itself, we will never be able to improve the health of Americans.
But to make environmental medicine standard issue in schools and practice, a lot more doctors and nurses will need to be educated, and that means a lot more funding. It's hoped as medical providers make the connection between environmental exposures and public health, funding sources will open up and environmental medicine will make its way into mainstream health care. For the Environment Report, this is Anne Murray